It has been a long week. This is On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. It is time. We have talked about Henry Ford's legacy in Georgia. We talked about classical music legend Robert Shaw. We talked a lot about how you can support GPB as a member. So now, let's sit back, relax, breathe, and celebrate Friday. It's time to go to the break room.
What happened at that school Wednesday was not a paddling. It was not a spanking. It was abuse.
That's UC Davis Police Lieutenant John Pike. Gawker described him as pepper spraying student protesters about as casually as you would Febreze your couch.
Facing mounting criticism that lethal injection is cruel and outdated, Ohio has replaced it with a system that quickly and humanely rips off the heads of death row inmates using powerful robotic arms.
On that note, joining us in the break room, Sam Burnham, curator of the blog All the Biscuits in Georgia. Tamika DePriest is a marketing and communications strategist. Greg Williams hosts the conservative radio show Greg's List. And Kathy Lohr, former NPR correspondent. Hello, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome
morning.
To Friday. Well, we just heard about two really incredible concerts here in Georgia. Elvis in 1956 in Savannah, Prince last week in Atlanta. Probably safe to say we're all fans of music. Everyone likes music, right? Nobody here hates music?
No.
Or is it willing to admit that? Well, besides making the traffic commute more bearable, music actually can benefit our emotional health physiologically as well. A study out of London finds people who attend live music concerts actually experience significantly lower levels of stress. The study focused on classical music, but researchers say music and the arts can enhance people's broader health and well-being. So how often does everybody in the studio go to live music?
I love live music and go frequently, probably about every other month. I'm participating in some kind of live music experience.
Yeah? Do we all go see live music?
Yes. At least several times a year. I think it's way different than listening in your car,
right?
Obviously. But I agree. I think it does. If it's music you like, I don't think it has to be classical or whatever, but I think if it's something you enjoy, that your stress level does go down for that.
You feel better after you go to a concert?
Absolutely.
Even if it's loud and your ears are ringing?
Yeah.
or if it's Madonna and she shows up 3 hours late.
She is a late
a
one.
Stressor.
Does that make you stressful?
So, yeah.
Is it?
Well, it made me stressful because my wife was there complaining about it. And
oh,
I had
you're
to be,
adding layer upon
I had to be
layer
the free
here,
Uber later to pick her up. So, yeah, that was a stress for both of us.
Sam?
I think it definitely is a relaxing environment. For me, I'm more of a small venue guy, and I wish I could go more often than I do. But, yes, there's some way you can connect with a live performer more than you can with your stereo. So I say definitely yes.
I mean, obviously I'm a musician, so I say go see live music as often as you can. But let's move on to something that is way less pleasant. The subject of corporal punishment has been in the headlines again. A Georgia mother recorded a video of her son being paddled by school administrators.
You're going to get a
baby.
We got all time in the world, don't we? Mama can't help. Mama might have to get outside the door.
A child is being punished for fighting with another student. The mother claims that school officials threatened her with truancy charges if she did not agree to the spanking punishment. The Jasper County school system denies that. But what do we think about spanking in schools? This particular school had it as a policy that paddling was part of the discipline. Sam, you're already making a face.
Well, I actually was on the receiving end of one of those in the eighth grade. At a school I was attending, I don't know that the paddling, it's going to depend kid to kid, obviously, but it didn't really change my view on what was going on. Might have made me be a little more diligent not to get caught. But with me, I'm looking at this, and this kid's missed 18 days of school. He's evidently been in trouble several times at school. Is the mom maybe the one that needed to be paddled?
I had the same thought, I have to say. I mean, this child is 5 years old, and tardy 20 times, 18 unexcused absences that should be linked to the parent. I don't think he should have been spanked or suspended, and that really the mom has an issue, but also the school system has an issue if corporal punishment is
corporate
the panacea.
Punishment. You're going to have to sit in this meeting room.
We have that too.
And you're going to have to talk about thinking outside the box.
Well, I think the larger question is, should we allow should states allow corporal punishment in the schools? And 19 states do. It's mainly in the South. which is interesting, of course. But I don't know that it serves the purpose that they are trying to accomplish.
What if, how would our opinions change if we knew nothing about this kid, if this was a perfectly well-behaved kid that got in trouble at school? I mean, would we then think differently about him getting paddled?
The problem with me is he's 5 years old.
Yeah.
And for me, he's in kindergarten. He's not driving himself to school yet, I don't think, anyway. But so to me, that's the biggest problem is the youthfulness. At five, they really are learning like colors and just their parents need to be directly the ones that discipline them, in my opinion. I just think it's way too young for any kind of corporal punishment. Kindergartners should not be corporally punished.
And what do we think? And let me put this to you, Sam, because what struck me was the public nature of it. You know, if I choose to discipline my kid at home, that's one thing. But when they're being paddled in front of a whole room full of adults, you don't think that changes the dynamic?
I think it would, because, I mean, especially like Greg said, with a five-year-old child, there's so many factors involved in that. I got this room full of people watching me. I'm being paddled. My mom is not able to help me do anything here. And there's sort of that betrayal factor. Then when you come back and you're looking at this educator later that you're supposed to be able to see in a trusting sense, you know, how does that impact the child?
Yeah, I think you never trust the school again.
And whether shame is a
The public shaming. I mean, we already have social media bullies. Now they're, you know, this is something that it went viral, correct?
Yeah.
So this is a permanently scarring moment.
But it's out of place. Yeah. And it's outdated. I think
you corporal paddling.
Yes, I think it's outdated, and there should be some other strategies.
And the poor guy probably does really need more discipline at home.
We are in the break room this morning with Sam Burnham, curator of the blog All the Biscuits in Georgia, Kathy Lohr, former NPR correspondent, Greg Williams hosts the radio show Greg's List, and Tamika DePriest is a marketing and communications strategist. And thanks, as always, to Savannah Coffee Roasters. They donate the coffee that fuels our break room guests' brains. You can find them online at savannahcoffee.com. Well, it has been a very bad year for UC Davis, and it was a bad year in 2011. So back then, a viral video surfaced, you may remember this, of a campus police officer shooting pepper spray directly into the eyes of seated students. They were there as part of the Occupy Wall Street movement. It has now been revealed that the chancellor spent $175,000 on public relations in an attempt to scrub every mention of that incident off of the internet and repair the school's image. A student-led petition is now circulating demanding the resignation of the chancellor. So what do we think? Should the chancellor resign?
Yes.
Why?
You know, I think it's unrealistic to think the university doesn't try to clean up its reputation, but I don't think scrubbing online every mention of this pepper spraying is wise, or, you know, what are you trying to erase history?
Revisionist history, exactly. Right.
So, you know, I think people should be aware of what happened at the university, how they handled it, how they mishandled it. So
you think this is a big, huge error in judgment? Did everyone agree with that or no?
I really wasn't clear on whether it was scrubbing or sort of trying to bury negative content by producing, you know, mass strategic content. And just in the spirit of full disclosure, I've actually facilitated branding seminars and advised individuals and business owners to bury negative content with that approach. I mean, so that's a little bit different from taking it away. I don't think she should resign for that action, actually. But I do question the chancellor's overall judgment on how the entire situation was handled, and also that paid board role she had with a college textbook company. Poor judgment.
That's a separate thing,
Clearly Hillary Clinton and her need to get together.
Okay,
it's
on that
time
note.
To scroll.
let's on that note move to the lighter side of the news. Have you ever run across an insane headline and the person didn't realize that they were linking to a fake news article?
All the time.
The Onion is the most likely suspect there. The media company publishes videos and articles dedicated to fake news. Here's a story from 2009.
President Obama announced today he will drastically scale back his agenda for America after a visit to a Denny's restaurant in Manassas, Virginia, caused him to, quote, completely reconsider what our nation is capable of achieving. In a press conference this afternoon, the president said, quote, what I saw at Denny's made me realize how much I have overestimated the American people.
Okay, so here's the thing. The Onion is now worth more than media outlets, real news outlets like the Washington Post and the Boston Globe. I wonder what you guys think this says about the state of our news.
Well, the problem is the satirical headlines in The Onion now actually look legitimate. When you have, put it this way, our presidential race right now is an undocumented Republican, a 74-year-old socialist, a criminal, and whatever John Kasich is, right? That's our presidential candidate breakdown right there. That sounds onion-esque, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think, yes. Kathy?
I think that for many, like the last 10 years, people have accepted things like comedy show news takes more than they've accepted the Washington Post.
Yeah.
I mean, more than that.
That's
people
a sad
are
commentary, man.
It really is, but... I don't think it's like Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, those
See,
kind
Greg's
of things.
Greg's laughing about it, but a journalist like Kathy is like rubbing her head.
I am rubbing my head, exactly, saying this
well,
is
just... Well, in social media as well. I mean, the paradigm shift with news has been happening, right?
Yeah.
You know, over the last 10 years or more even. And so, you know, there's a segment of the population that's into the mix of satire and news or comedy and news or entertainment and news or commentary from my friends as news.
The peanut gallery, right?
People don't know what news is anymore.
Some of the sensationalism in the reporting, too, as far as, you know, trying to sell a story or whatever.
Clickbait.
A lot of times the Onion is a lot less sensational sounding in
oh
their
goodness. Things. Than the Washington Post? Holy cow. All right, well, let's talk about, I don't know if this is sensationalism, though. I would imagine this would be pretty calm, but Kathy knows for sure. The Swedish government has launched a really interesting new program. It's for people who just need someone to talk to. They've released a phone number that will connect you to a random Swedish person in Sweden, and you can just talk to them about whatever it is you want to talk to them about. And Kathy, you did this, right?
I did this last night. I talked to Theo, who is a 20-year-old student studying to be a dentist. Who
probably had great English.
He had great English. I said, how did you get into this? He went online and said he heard about it and said he would do it. And he's gotten a lot of phone calls in the middle of the night, which is when mine was for him, but that he couldn't get to with a lot of people leaving messages and say, hey, call me back, mostly from the USA.
Yeah, because we have trouble with math, calculating what the time
exactly.
is there.
Hold on, I'm calling Theo now.
right. But I asked him, what's the best thing about Sweden? And he said the mountains and the parks and the hiking,
well,
something you would expect.
Of course he said that, yeah.
And lots of free
stuff.
You talked
for like 20 minutes, you said.
Yeah, he was a great guy.
Sam, Tamika, would you do this?
I'm thinking, why do I need a service like this when I have a social media community that I can provide the same kind of thing?
I bet the Swedish person is way less judgmental than social media.
Well, I don't know. I think I've situated my community so that, you know, I actually have really meaningful and mindless experiences. So I hadn't thought about thinking of calling a Theo to ask about Sweden if perhaps I was on my way there and wanted to get some inside tips, you know, on what to see and
Sam,
do.
Sam, would
while
you
there.
Call us Swede?
Yes.
I don't know that I can think of a reason to, but if my teenage boys find out that they can dial a Swede and think it's a primary source for information to fill their Norse mythology habit, my phone bill's gonna go crazy.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna hide the dial Swede from them.
I feel like every time I answer a telemarketing call, I'm talking to India. So it's, you know, same thing.
No, not the same thing.
Except you don't have to pay for it, maybe?
Yeah, and Kathy tracked down a local number. This is definitely something that we would need to hear from listeners on, whether you would call a random Swedish person. I totally would do that. We are out of time in the break room today. I want to say thank you to all our guests. Kathy Lohr, former NPR correspondent. Greg Williams hosts the show Greg's List. Tamika DePriest is a marketing and communication strategist. And Sam Burnham is curator of the blog All the Biscuits in Georgia. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Happy Friday.